of my message this morning is the way of the cross leads home. For our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as for all of us. The theme is the way of the cross leads home. This is the second time that Matthew tells us about our Lord telling his disciples that he will be betrayed and put to death, but he will rise up on the third day, and then he will conquer in what he suffered. The first time that Matthew describes this is in chapter 16, just one chapter before what we have just read. There Peter, for the first time when he heard that Jesus would go to Jerusalem to die, quickly dissuaded him. "Lord, Lord, please don't. How terrible it is for you to be killed." And Jesus rebuked him, "Satan, you are a hindrance to me." So there are many things, spiritual things, we don't understand at first, and we err. But this, the second time, they all were quiet, and they sympathized with Jesus, and was willing to let him die, but they were also aware of the fact that when you follow Jesus, we are disciples and not above the master. Where he is, we must also be there. We must also be betrayed when we want to serve the Lord to the best of our ability, that we will be sold away even by our best friend. That did not happen with Judas. He was a very eminent follower of the Lord Jesus, being elected the treasurer. But he had been pilfering the money that was so sacred. And he sold Jesus away for 30 pieces of silver to the Pharisees and to the scribes and to the Jewish elders, that they then had more information and would surely put Jesus to death. So it was not Pilate who sentenced Jesus. It was the cry of the Jews against him, "Crucify him, crucify him." It was not Pilate who sentenced Jesus to death. It was the foul act of Judas in betraying his Lord and selling him away. Now this is the main theme of our thought today in conjunction with what happened after this. The next part we read about Jesus coming to Capernaum. Capernaum is on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee, and it is where we always visit on the pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And in the earlier part of our visit, we saw them reconstructing the house of Peter. This is where Jesus' headquarters was. But there already by the site, quite near to the spot of Peter's house, was a restored synagogue. Not holy, but the pillars were up, and you can see how beautiful the synagogue was. Perhaps it was a tax collector. The temple tax collector who lived in the synagogue, who met Jesus and Peter always. Then he asked, "Hey, how about this? You people have not paid the temple tax. Half shekel each. Two will be one shekel. Do you pay?" And Peter said, "Yes." That shows that they had been paying yearly before this, but not this time. Well, of course, Jesus was prepared to pay. Then they called Peter on a point of logic, "Answer me a question. The kings of this earth, when they collect tax, do they collect from their family, their children, or do they collect from strangers or the subjects?" Then Peter said, "Of course, the king will collect from his subjects and not from his family." Well, Jesus is the Son of God. He is a sinless perfection. But this tax that is being collected is for the atonement of the souls. Those who worship God, when they come, they're all sinners. And that was a part that they have to pay to acknowledge that they are sinners, to make them aware that it was such a privilege to come to church. In the same way, we come every Lord's Day and we put something into the offering bag. There is no coercion how much, but the fact is that all those who appear God, Moses said, must not appear before me empty. Like when you go and see somebody who will help you, you naturally go not with empty hands, but you bring something to show your respect and love for that person. But Jesus said, in case you offend the temple tax collector, Jesus had no sin, why should he pay? Please do that for me. Both for me and for yourself. And the wonderful thing is that bring your line and hook and cast it in the sea, and the first fish that you catch, there will be a coin, one shekel in his mouth. Why did Jesus say this? One practical reason is, it is not a simple thing to be a fisherman. Sometimes you may throw your net or your line for the whole night and you catch nothing. Luke chapter 5 tells us that Peter had experienced this, and when Jesus told him, "You launch out into the deep," then they caught two shiploads of fish. They were greatly marveled. Another time was the third time on the resurrection. Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee, and again the whole night they caught nothing. In order to save time, Jesus knows the whereabouts of the fish, that this fish is a coin in his mouth. This is a manifest the glory of his omniscience. He knows everything. It is no need. It is coming to church, and if you have something wrong in your heart, it is impossible for you to hide it from him. He knows it. And the second thing is to show for the glory of his omnipotence. He guarantees that Peter will be able to catch a fish, whether he would like it or not. But the more than is, I told you the story of an American bishop who taught me English in the ACS, and he preached in Kuching. If you believe that the whale swallowed Jonah, you can believe that Jonah swallowed the whale also. I can guarantee you the interpretation of the same bishop who taught me, as I heard of other modernist preachers. And that is that Peter caught the fish, and then he took it to the market and sold it for one shekel. And that's all. They do not believe any miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ, just like the Pharisees who never believed him, the man who was born blind, who sat by the roadside. And Jesus said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he washed, his eyes opened. And when he came back and testified that Jesus opened his eyes, the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders of the church, did not believe Jesus at all. And they based it on their own assumption that he worked on the Sabbath day and broke the law of Sabbath. What a ridiculous thing. Do you believe all the miracles of the Bible? I believe that you do. But lest there be some who doubt and who not believe that Jesus is the Son of God but only a prophet, it is very fatal. As at Easter, I mentioned the fact that there were those who did not believe the resurrection, of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul mentioned two of his wayward disciples. And so in 1 Corinthians, he brought this thing up and challenged those who don't believe. This pulpit believes everything of God's word, and we try all the time to exalt Jesus Christ. Every sermon you hear here is the exaltation of our Lord and Savior according to the book of Matthew. He manifested himself just a few sermons before this in the Transfiguration on the Mount Tabor. And the marvelous thing is that Moses and Elijah came to visit him, to help him to go to the cross to die for our sins. And that is a main theme of Jesus. The way of the cross leads home. And so when Peter came back and told the Lord Jesus what he had done, Jesus, of course, was very pleased. The way of the cross leads home. The main lesson of Jesus coming into the world is to die for our sins and to be betrayed. So the catching of the fish was committed to Peter, who was a believer. If Peter was not a believer, he would never have caught the fish. Many blessings we lose because we never regarded our Lord. It is a very good thing for us, for example, to check up on SARS and take your temperature. But if the Lord will not protect us, we will catch it all the same. So there are so many wonderful lessons we learn from the way of the cross leads home. For the sake of not offending them, for the sake of fulfilling all righteousness, that is the way of the cross. The Lord said, never mind. Let us pay the tax. And if you study into the life of Jesus, he who comes to fulfill the law, from the time he was born and he was circumcised, until his launching out to preach at the age of 30, he kept every law to fulfill all righteousness for our sake. He became poor for our sakes, that we, because of his poverty, we become rich. So it is a wonderful lesson. The lesson today, the main thing, is that Jesus has come and he is willing to suffer betrayal and let to be put to death. He dies at the hand of his own friend. But in so doing, he fulfilled all righteousness, that by his death on the cross, our sins are forgiven. You know how wonderful this is. And our Lord Jesus Christ, to show forth his greatness, one commentator says that Jesus Christ, though he was the Son of God and the Creator of heaven and earth, was so poor that he could not even produce half a shekel and another half shekel for Peter to pay the tax. But he is like a rich man, multi-million that he has in the bank. And he has no need to worry. Whatever sum of money is needed, he can write a check and pay. Jesus Christ in the same situation. He possesses heaven and earth. But when he needs a half shekel and another half shekel with Peter, he was able immediately to bring it to pass by the miracle of the catching of the fish. So today the main point of this sermon is the way of the cross leads home by his sacrifice, giving way in many things, doing it for the sake of fulfilling all righteousness. And the sub-point is Peter catching that fish. And so, in order to conclude this sermon, we will turn to the beginning again, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. I have been the pastor for the last 53 years. And many things I did not know. But now I've learned what is the meaning of the fact that he said he would be betrayed by the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day they shall be raised again. And then they were exceeding sorry. Now they realize that in following the Lord, the way of the cross leads home. In following the Lord, this is the only way, the way of the cross. Many times we have to sacrifice. Even for our Lord, we try to serve Him the best. But our friends misunderstand us and sell us down the river. Even then, we must submit. We must take the injury and say the Lord has gone before us, experiences this disappointment, this disappointments. We must experience the same and be willing to suffer for Him. So what happened to all the disciples except Judas, who sold away Jesus? All the other disciples, including Paul, became martyrs of the faith, according to tradition. And I told you about Thomas, how the doubting Thomas became the doubting, the strong one, now who never doubted. And they preached the gospel even to India. One tradition tells us that he went to China and came back to India again and was martyred at Madras. So there is a church to commemorate his martyrdom. If you want to serve the Lord faithfully, we will be understood, be misunderstood, and even be betrayed by our friends. But we must be willing to take the injury. And then the Lord will also raise us again, that we may be able to rejoice together at His coming. In regard to the matter of His coming, I would like to tell you my feeling and understanding of the present situation. I really feel that we are coming to the end of the world. Great USA has to be so geared to fight terrorism. And all the bickerings with North Korea about their atom bomb. And so many things. Physically, the Lord sends another earthquake in Algiers where over 1,000 were killed. The Lord is coming very soon. When He comes, will you be with Him? So let us all prepare to go the way of the cross, even to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving Father, how we thank Thee for this story of the coin in the fish's mouth. It is to manifest the power of our Lord and His knowledge, that we cannot escape Him. He knows everything. Help us to be willing to take up a cross, and that is to even die for Jesus, to go along with Him. And bless us in these days of difficulty, that by turning to Thee only we can find salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.